Thank you, Lord. Amen. We appreciate both of those. A great, great call to prayer, that first song. And we're thankful that He hears us when we cry. Amen. So tonight, we're going to go over to the Gospel of John. We're in John chapter 10. We've already preached through the Gospel of John chapter 10. We've preached through John 10. But I do want to come back. There's so much in that chapter. So we wanted to come back and preach on a subject that I feel is very, very important today. And we'll explain why in just a minute. John 10, if you remember, it's where Jesus, he presents himself as the good shepherd. He is our shepherd. And he talks a lot about various things in John chapter 10. But we're just going to look at one verse from John 10, verse 12. And then we're going to jump over to Acts chapter 20. So if you will, just stick your finger in John 10. Go ahead and find Acts 20, or you can just read it on the screen. But we'll begin in John 10. John chapter 10. And then we'll be over in Acts 20 as soon as we read this one verse in John 10. So tonight I'm going to preach on a subject that is really very difficult to preach on, but it's the word and it's the Bible. And when the Lord called me to preach, He didn't tell me that I could just preach what I wanted to preach. He didn't tell me I could just preach the good stuff and the easy stuff, but He called me to preach His Word. And sometimes in His Word, there's things in there that are tough and things that are hard. And if you ever have been in your own personal devotional time and have God give you something from His Word that was real tough and hard to swallow, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. But our subject tonight is going to be on wolves in the church. Wolves in the church. One of the sad things about the modern church movement, or I should say the maybe, well, let's just leave it at that, the modern church movement and even some of the modern church planning movements that are out there today, not all but some, the emphasis and the focus is always on the positive aspects of Scripture. There's never a preaching of the full counsel of God, of the Bible from cover to cover. Because if you're preaching the Bible from cover to cover, there are some difficult things to address, some difficult things to deal with. I have many times in my years in the ministry had God give me a text, and I've asked the Lord over and over, don't make me preach this. I do not want to do it. I've sat on the front row and I've prayed and I've prayed and I've thought, Lord, just let somebody stand up and give a testimony. Let something happen to where I change my mind, change my heart. I don't want to preach what you've given me, but I don't have a say-so in what God gives me to preach. And so this modern church movement, it only some of our churches today, only in some of our preachers today, only focus on the positive and only on the happy clappy. But I got news for you. The Bible is not always about that. Sometimes when we study the Bible and we do our devotions, it's more like, woe is me, as Isaiah said in the temple, for I am undone. He saw the Lord in all of His glory. And so sometimes that's the case in our Bible study. But this thought on wolves in the church is not something you want to hear, and it's not going to increase your popularity by preaching it. I can promise you that. But it's a truth that we need to know today in the time in which we live. And it's something we must be aware of. But look in John chapter 10, verse 12. This is where Jesus brings this out. And the ideal of wolves in the church is found all throughout the Scripture. But here's what Jesus says. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. So the Bible here speaks of wolves coming for the sheep. At least, if you will, put up Acts chapter 20. We're going to be Acts chapter 20 over in verse, starting in verse 28. Here's what, this is straight out of Acts in the preaching of one of God's apostles. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, here Paul's preaching to, he's preaching to preachers, pastors, overseers. That's that word. The exact same word is found as bishop in God's word. It's also found as elder in God's word. It all refers to the role of a pastor. So he is encouraging the pastor, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to feed the church of God. And he's stressing the importance of the church. The church is so, so important because Christ purchased it with his own blood. That's why the church is it's a possession to be cherished. It belongs to God, but it is something to be cherished. Let's see, look at the next verse. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves, speaking of these same grievous wolves, also of your own selves, notice what he says, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. My, my, what intense words from the Word of God. Now, in just a second, Lisa, I'll let you put that picture up there, but hang on just a minute. When I was a kid, I used to watch cartoons like all kids did, man. I mean, like Saturday was the day you live for, because Saturday there's all kinds of cartoons. And it was back in the day when cartoons were good. And now, when the girls were kids, some 15 years ago, there were cartoons on there, and there was cartoon characters and kids on cartoons that were brats in these cartoons. Like, I saw some of the ones the kids tried to watch when they were little, and I was like, if I could jerk that little character out of that TV screen and wear that rascal's bottom out, I'd do it because they're a brat. And so so there was cartoons. We had to tell the girls, you can't watch those cartoons. Like, they're teaching bad manners and bad behavior and all this, so don't even think about it. But, you know, and I wondered, where did Looney Tunes go to? But there was this Looney Tune cartoon, and it was Ralph the Wolf and Sam the Sheepdog. You remember that? How many of you remember that? Let me ask this. Now, don't be ashamed. You know, counseling's available for you folks who have never seen it. But who has never seen Ralph the Wolf and Sam the Sheepdog? Who's never seen that? Angie. My word. You never seen it either? You're not my child. Who else is not that's not raising their hands up? Oh, my goodness. So this is, Roger, I'm going to need your help counseling all these people next week. So there's Ralph the Wolf, Sam Sheepdog. And it always starts off, they're going to work, and they're walking together to the pasture where all the sheep's at, and they clock in together, and Ralph the Wolf looks over at Sam the Sheepdog, and he said, and Ralph the Wolf looks kind of like Wile E. Coyote. He's made by the same cartoon writer. He just looks a little different. So Sam looks over at Ralph the Sheepdog. He says, "Hey, good morning, Sam." And Sam's like, "Good morning, Ralph." And you have a good night? Yeah, had a good night. Well, you have a good day. And then when they clock in, then they both go to work. Ralph the Wolf, he becomes the wolf, and he's out trying to get the sheep, and in all of his maneuvers trying to get the sheep. Well, Sam the Sheepdog, he's out there with the sheep, and he always puts an end. No matter how sneaky the wolf gets, Sam the Sheepdog, he's on the lookout, and he just puts an end. I can't even focus right now thinking about you folks hadn't even seen that. You got to go home and you got to get on YouTube and just YouTube that and at least watch a little YouTube video of Ralph Wolf and Sam Sheepdog. You got to go home and do that. But at the end of the day, after it's all over with, they go home and they come out of the field, they get together and they clock out. And Sam says, "Ralph, I'll see you tomorrow." And Ralph's like, "Sam, I'll see you. Have a good evening." And they clock out and they go home. What am I doing? Oh, yeah, that's them right there. This is who I'm telling you about. See, he looks like Wile E. Coyote, but he's a little different, and that's Sam the sheepdog, and they're punching in or punching out right there. And Sam the sheepdog's got his lunch, and they're about to go out and do business. And so it's a pretty funny cartoon, and it's all fun and games until they've punched in, and then it's all serious. And Sam the sheepdog's on point. But Jesus and the Lord all throughout the Bible, when the Lord has a point to make and he talks about things, like maybe he talks about silver being tried in the fire or gold being tried in the fire, then we need to know a little bit about gold to understand what a goldsmith does and why he does it. Or I was talking to someone today about Jeremiah 33:3 about he is the potter and we are the clay. And to really understand that text, that he is the potter, we are the clay, you really need a pottery class. Now, I've started many, many times to take one, but you really need a pottery class to truly understand what the Lord is talking about. Well, as Jesus mentions wolves, then we need to study wolves, and we need to understand the nature of a wolf because it's mentioned in the Bible over and over and over. In fact, here it's mentioned grievous wolves, and the Bible also mentions ravenous wolves. And the Bible also mentions evening wolves. We'll come back to that. And so a wolf in Scripture is always in a negative light. At least show us that picture. But I want to tell you something, what the Bible does. What the Bible does is it portrays us over and over and over as being sheep. We preached a series on sheep a year or two ago. But so the Bible says we are the flock of God and we are the lambs of God. We are sheep, and the Bible's very clear for many reasons that we are sheep. And the Bible's teaching us now tonight that there are wolves that will be in the church and try to come in the church. And in Matthew 7, Jesus speaks about wolves that are dressed in sheep's clothing. And in fact, that's what Ralph, the wolf, tried to do one time. One time he put on sheep's clothing and he tried to get in and get the flock. And as he eased up to some sheep to try to grab a sheep, the particular sheep he was trying to grab, before he grabbed it, he quickly found out that it was Sam the sheepdog who had done the same thing so he could stop the wolf. But you clearly see from this picture that they are two different creatures altogether. We're not preaching on sheep tonight. We're preaching on wolves in the church. I want to give you a few things that you need to know about wolves as we go through, as we think about this text that Jesus was pointing out to us here. To begin with, so let's understand what the Lord has said in this sermon that we read out of Acts chapter 20, that from among us there are going to be wolves who are dressed in sheep's clothing. They're going to look like sheep, but they're not going to be sheep. They're wolves, and they're just out to get the flock of God. They are out to cause damage to the flock. That is the point of that text, and that's why the Lord has charged overseers. You have to watch out. You have to be on guard. You have to be watching, and you have to be looking, and you have to be prayed up, and all the things that an overseer should do, because there will be wolves in the church. It's no different in our day than it was in Paul's day. There will still be wolves in the church. And so let's just look at wolves for just a minute and think about a couple of things as we think about wolves. Well, to begin with, let me say this. Wolves will never harmonize. Number one, wolves will never harmonize. In fact, listen to this. Wolves are very dominant creatures in nature, obviously. Any creatures in nature that are very dominant and exhibit that dominance, they vocalize in a minor key. If you go up to the county I live in, we have Cataloochee. It's part of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. It's a very eastern portion of it. It's the Cataloochee Valley. You can go right into Cataloochee in, say, September, and there's elk there, and those elk will be bugling. They're very dominant creatures. They exhibit dominance in their life. We watch two big bull elks, two big 6x6s, horns about that high or antlers about that high. They kind of went around and around posturing to fight, and one of them finally left out a coward, and the other one come up a bank and bent his head down in that majestic rack that was on his head and hit the front quarter panel of a minivan. And I am sure just messed that thing up. But if you go up there, you'll see those elk and hear them bugling in September, but they're very dominant. And that bugle of an elk, it's in a minor chord. And so animals in nature that are very dominant and exhibit dominance, they always vocalize in a minor chord. Now sheep, on the other hand, they are not dominant creatures. They're very timid, they're very shy, and so forth, and they flock together. But when they vocalize in a major chord. And so what you need to understand is we're talking about that sheep never harmonize is this, is that they will never be able to harmonize with sheep because sheep are in a major chord and wolves are always in a minor chord. And so they'll never be able to harmonize, with the body of Christ. They'll never make harmony with the body of Christ. In other words, there's always something, let's just say on a different way to say this, we're talking about major chords. Major sounds, major chords, and minor chords. We could say the minor chord is a negative, if we could say it like that. Music people wouldn't use that. I know, Hopi, don't hold it against me because I'm not a music person. I did take piano for 2 years, but baseball had more interest in me than piano, so I never practiced like I was supposed to and forgot everything I ever learned. But anyway, so the minor chord, let's just say that would be negative. So when we think about wolves in the church, you need to know that number one, it's an individual who will never harmonize with the body of Christ. They'll always have a negative slant. They'll always be against this or against that. And really what comes out of them is negativity because wolves never harmonize. Are you with me? Number two. As we think about wolves, well, to begin with, you need to understand. Now, some of this is going to be pretty tough tonight when we think about wolves. But number two is that every wolf wants to be the alpha wolf. See, in a pack of wolves, somebody has to be the alpha male. And wolves sometimes will fight for that position many times throughout the year, or certainly at least yearly. And somebody wins out, and there's always the top dog who is an alpha male. And here's the thing. Every wolf wants to be, at least every male, wants to be the alpha male. He wants to be in charge. And boy, listen to me. I want you to understand something when it comes to the church. We're no different than the company you work for, whatever the case may be. But there's always somebody who's not in charge that wants to be in charge. And when they can't be in charge, they cause trouble. When they can't be in charge, they're negative, if you will. They don't harmonize with the crowd. When they can't have their way and they don't get their way, they can't be the alpha male, if you will, then there'll be trouble. That's the nature of a wolf. And I have said many, many times preaching and in pastoring in the churches that I pastor, listen, God has made me overseer at Liberty. He has made me pastor at Liberty. And I've got news for you. Just because I'm the overseer and pastor, that does not mean I'm in charge. I'm not in charge here. The Lord Himself is the one who owns this church. I'm simply an under-shepherd. I'm a steward of the church and the flock that God has given us here. So I'm not the alpha male. I'm not the top dog in the pack. I'm simply a servant. I'm simply just doing what the Lord would have us to do and following where He leads us. And so if anybody asks you who runs the show around here, then you be quick to let them know that it's the Lord who runs the show, because it's His church. It was purchased. He paid for it by His blood. I've shed no blood, but He died on the cross so that we could have this local body of believers here. That's called Liberty Baptist Church. And so God's in charge of this church. We follow His word. We follow His voice. We follow His spirit. We follow His lead. The problem is that everybody wants to be an alpha male when they're wolves. They want to be in charge. They want to take lead. And listen, and the whole principle of servanthood in the Bible is this, and it's good for the pastor to the pew to the parking lot, is that everybody in this church serves one another, from the pastor all the way to the parking lot. I serve you, you serve me. That's the nature of the body of Christ. That's how we work together. We love each other, and out of that love, we serve one another. So I'm going to give you something really tough right here to swallow, and this is one of them things I'm like, Lord, let's leave this point out and let's skip on and move on. But, you know, I'm going to say it. I'm not going to look for that blizzard after we leave here tonight. That's Gavin's going to buy it because he feels sorry for me. So every wolf wants to be the alpha male, but you need to know this is that behind every alpha male, there's always an alpha female. I know, don't throw your hands up and shout tonight and don't praise the Lord. But behind every alpha male, there's an alpha female. If you ever watch wolf documentaries and study the life cycle of wolves and see wolf videos, you'll see that alpha male. And biologists will point out that alpha male. And behind that alpha male, though, there's always this alpha female who's very much that. She's the alpha female, and she lays in a watchful spot. And oftentimes she's nudging that alpha male, and oftentimes she's pushing that alpha male. And when she sees stuff that needs to be done, when she sees things she doesn't like, she pushes that alpha male into action because he's in charge of that whole pack of wolves. And so backing up that alpha male is an alpha female who's often driving. She's often the driving force behind everything he does. And boy, I'm just going to say this. 25 years nearly of pastoring, I want to tell you, every time I've had to deal with a wolf, oftentimes it's been an alpha male. And somewhere behind that alpha male, he's gathered together with himself an alpha female or two, and they drive him and they push him. And to be honest with you, I'm a little scared about preaching this tonight because wolves don't like to be discovered. They don't like to be talked about. And that's the nature of a wolf. I'll never forget my first pastorate. I hadn't been there too awful long. I was still in that mindset that I was just going to get in that pulpit every Sunday morning and I was just going to be anointed with the Lord and we were going to see everybody in that community saved and we were going to turn all of Western North Carolina upside down for the glory of the Lord. There's going to be revival just day in and day out. And I was still living under that impression. I started noticing very quickly that on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, our youth leader at the time, who was this middle-aged lady, she would take all the kids out on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights take them to the fellowship hall where they were, what I thought was having, you know, Bible study. And I was okay with the Wednesday night because I feel like on Wednesday nights our kids need to be ministered to and discipled in things that are age appropriate and things that deal with issues they may face as children or as teenagers. So I was all for Wednesday night because as soon as I started entered into ministry, I knew that young people were going to be my focus and it was who I was going to pour my life into. Well, on Sunday nights, I just didn't feel right about it. I felt like on Sunday nights, our kids just needed to be in church with us. We just needed to be together as a family. And that on Sunday nights, our children needed to see what was taking place in big church. And it was my responsibility not to preach over their head, but preach very simplistic, where they could, where everybody could understand the preaching on Sunday nights. And so I got it on my heart that this needed to change. Wednesday nights was great. Let's send the kids out. Sunday nights, let's worship together as a family. And then one night, as the choir was singing, I kind of got it on my heart. I thought, I'm gonna go over and check on the youth and see what all they're doing in the fellowship hall. You know, they've had time to get started and all that, so I went over there, and one night I went over and they were playing games. And I'm okay with that. It's got its place. I went again a week later just to see what they were doing over there, on a Sunday night. And they were fixing snacks and eating popcorn. Well, I thought, I wonder what the Bible lesson's been. I mean, I'm good with all that. I'm all for games and eating. Like, let's bring it on, but the Word of God's most important. So I started just grabbing some of our kids. You know, you won't know anything true, just ask the young'un, because he's going to tell everything. You know what I'm saying? Amen. I mean, that's why, you know, when I hear you're sick, I'm cautious about asking your kid. You know, is your daddy okay? Your mama said he was sick. Well, daddy was on the golf course Sunday, preacher. He wasn't sick. Some of you are going to herd your kids up and keep them away from me now on Sunday so I can never find out the truth about what's going on in your household. I don't interrogate kids anymore. That was part of my past, and it's under the blood. But anyway, so I started asking these kids, what's your Bible lesson today, tonight on Wednesday night? And we didn't have a Bible lesson. Okay, well, what was your Bible lesson tonight on this Sunday night? Well, we just played games all night. We didn't come find out. That's all they were doing. There was no Bible. Nothing. And so I had a meeting. Now, I was a rookie and a greenhorn at pastoring, but I still knew all about how to love people, and I knew how to be gracious, and I knew how to be tactful and how to be careful and all of those things. And so I knew we had to deal with this Sunday night thing first. Let's get them back in the sanctuary on Sunday night. So I said, look, I need to have a meeting with all the youth people, all the people that work with youth on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, right after church this morning. And so they all stayed, the workers that were there, and here's what I said, and I knew wording was important at a time. And very specifically, I said, I've been praying about this, and I've been examining our youth program. We want to make it the best we can be, and so forth and all that. But I said, I feel like maybe it's not such a good ideal that we're taking our kids out on Sunday night, and we should probably just be leaving them in the sanctuary on Sunday nights and let them go on Wednesday nights for discipleship with age-appropriate groups. And that's all I said. And when I finished that, there was an alpha female who stood up, and she unloaded. And I said it exactly like I said it to you tonight. She stood up and just unloaded. Took me by surprise. I didn't even know people like that were in the church. And when she got done, I don't really remember how the meeting ended and so forth, but she was upset, and I mean upset. Her behavior was so bad that by the time I drove 19 miles to my house, so I was 19 miles away from the church, I was already getting phone calls, people calling and apologizing for her behavior. See, she was wanting, and she was, she had declared herself to be alpha female. And she was wanting to be in charge of something. And it wasn't her ideal, and it wasn't her plan, and it was against what she wanted. And so she demonstrated that aspect. And in fact, she was an alpha male behind an alpha female later on in my ministry. But listen, we're just talking about wolves. And so you need to understand something. If God is so for the church, and he is, Christ purchased it with his own blood. We're here because Jesus died. He loved the church so much, the Bible said, that he gave himself for it. So you need to understand that this institution, that God, this body that God has established through the purchasing of the blood of his son Jesus, it has the potential to be the greatest blessing in our life. Church does. No other way can we be blessed as great as the times we get blessed here in church sometimes. And so you got to understand that if there's something God has given us that has the potential to be blessed so much, then you've got to know that the devil can use it and not use it. Let me say it like this. You've got to know that the devil wants to get in and mess it all up and hurt it and destroy it. You've got to know that. If there's anything that has such potential as the church, God-given potential, then you better believe the enemy knows it and he hates it. And he'll get in any way he can get in. If he has to dress like a sheep in wolf's clothing. So let's move on just a little bit very quickly. So listen, I want you to also know this. This is so interesting if you've ever pastored and seen the life of a church. And this is common sense for those of you who have hounds or, you know, any other dog that howls or whatever. But a wolf only howls. He only howls with his head in a lifted up position. He never howls with his head down. The yard dogs don't howl with their head down when the ambulance drives by. They go to howling at the police cars or whatever. No, they raise their head and they howl. Well, a wolf, he's no different in nature. He never howls with his head down, but he only howls with his head high and lifted up. And I just want you to know something tonight, that on Sunday mornings when we gather here, not everybody comes in with an humble heart realizing they're just a sinner saved by grace and thankful that the Lord saved them instead of sending them to hell. Not everybody does. Wolves don't, I can tell you that. The wolves always have their head lifted up. They always have their chest stuck out, if you will. They always want to be heard. They always want to be seen. So let's move on. So a wolf also, listen, sheep like still water. The friend of mine a man I used to be friends with, he raised sheep, and so he had these pastures, and he had creeks that run through his pastures. But one time I was in a buggy with him, a side-by-side, and we went by this creek, and I think maybe we crossed it that day, if my memory serves me right. But as we crossed it, he'd been teaching me about sheep all day long, and I got so much information from him just about the nature of sheep, some rather just genius. Only a shepherd would know this information he would give me, and he was a shepherd, a farmer. But we went by this place where the stream was really running fast, where there was some white water. And he told me, he said, those sheep, he said, they'll never drink from that spot. And I said, why? He said, they don't like it. They're not comfortable there. They lose their sense of hearing whenever they're near that running water. It makes them nervous. The turbulence of the water makes them nervous because sheep can be very easily spooked and nervous. Amen. We can be, can't we? He said, they'll only drink from still water. Of course, Psalmist David knew that when he said, that he leads me beside the still waters. And he said, those sheep, they'll only drink from still waters. But you know, the funny thing is this, is wolves, they don't like still water. Because if the water's still, what they'll do, and some people mistakenly look at wolves and still water, and they think the wolves are playing. But what wolves are doing when they come to still water and they get out there, it looks like they're frolicking. They're really not. They're just trying to stir the water up and get some ripple going in the water. They don't like that still water. They like that rough running water. But sheep will only drink from still water. Wolves can't stand the stillness. It's almost as if they can't stand the peace of it. Same way it is with wolves in the church. They don't like harmony in the body of Christ. They don't like stillness in the body of Christ. And should the body of Christ, and that Acts 20 says it very well, but should there be harmony in the body of Christ, they're going to do everything they can to draw to themselves disciples. Disciples. They draw from among us disciples. This is why you and I are supposed to be prayed up every day, so we'll be able to recognize when we hear the minor howl of a wolf, that negative howl of a wolf. We are to stay prayed up Because one of the things they have to do is they have to draw to themselves disciples, and so they can speak perverse things or lies, if you will, drawing away disciples after them. Are you with me tonight? Amen. Okay, good. Good. And so as we think about wolves, we have to know that they don't like still water. Listen, here's something else, and I'm going to talk about this just a little bit, if you will. So the Bible talks about evening wolves. Well, there's some things about wolves we need to understand. And as we know, what we know about wolves is this. Wolves also, they love those northern environments, the colder environments. They like it cold. They like it in, they're referred to in the Bible many times as evening wolves. They like it in the twilight or even in the dark. And I'm going to tell you something that wolves cannot stand. Wolves in the church, they're okay with shallow teaching. They're okay with dead services. They're okay with God doing nothing in the middle of the church because they like cold regions. But you want to ever disturb, you want to disturb a wolf, you want to get him exhibiting his dominance through the things we've talked about, then you raise the spiritual environment in a church. You turn the temperature up in the church. What I'm talking about praying the Lord down upon the churches and praying for anointing and praying for a moving of God. And so when God starts really, truly moving, and God starts doing things in the lives of people, and God starts saving souls and changing lives, and when God starts bringing new people into the church, my friend, listen, a wolf does not like that. He likes it cold, and he likes it dead, so everything stays the same and nothing changes. But that's a wolf for you. And see, wolves, there's a couple of three things I know of that wolves don't like. Number one, they don't like fire. Like Ralph and Sam. Ralph the Wolf and Sam the Sheepdog. I think there was a cartoon or two where they would come in the morning. They'd gather around the fire and warm up together before they punched in. But listen, the honest truth is this: wolves don't like fire. They don't like fire. And so, listen to me. When the fire of God begins to fall upon a church, and God's growing that church, and God's moving in that church, wolves don't like it at all. I'll tell you something else wolves don't like, and this is really where you need to commit your heart tonight, especially when we give this invitation in a little while. And also, something that wolves don't like, and despite the cartoon, wolves don't like sheepdogs. They do not like sheepdogs. You know what we need? And I know there's this movement in the tactical gun world about, you know, being a sheepdog and all that. But what we need in the church today is we need some sheepdogs. We need some watchmen. That's what we need. We need some people who's prayed up and filled up. And when an alpha wolf comes along and he's trying to draw to himself disciples, or she's trying to draw, an alpha female, she's trying to draw to herself disciples. Listen, we need some people who will be sheepdogs. And you know what a sheepdog does? He does not just lay there. The old friend I had that raised sheep, he had sheepdogs. And buddy, I'm telling you something. Whenever I started to move toward those sheep, that dog got between me and the sheep. And oftentimes before he'd even made it that far, he even started a low, low growl. And he was letting me know, I'm not happy with what you're doing. Don't get near my sheep. Don't get near my flock. You're upsetting me and I'm not going to have any of it. So you stay away from us. And if I tried to get closer, he'd move between the sheep and between me. He always had his eyes on me. He's always watching me. What we need in the church today is we need some folks who are going to be, we'll call them sheepdogs, or we can call them watchmen. You're not going to let anybody say anything negative. You're not going to let anybody try to draw you away to make disciples after themselves. But you are going to stand firm. And you know what your attitude should be and my attitude should be? It should be this. You know what? The church is a little cooler than I like it to be, but I'm going to stand with the church. I don't really care much for the new song, the choir singing, but you know what? It's a Bible-believing church. I'm going to stand with the church. I really don't like to away. They've done life groups or Sunday school, but you know what? It's a Bible-believing church, and the Spirit of the Lord is there, and so I'm going to stand with the church. And the surest way to shut down the howl of a wolf is to let the wolf know you hear him howling, and you'll have none of it, and you won't put up with it. And they'll shut up, and they'll go somewhere else to try to find disciples. Are you with me? All right. So we're just talking about wolves in the church. Three things the wolf does not like. Number one, he does not like fire. That's why I've asked these ladies on Tuesday nights from the beginning, from the very get-go, is to pray that the glory of the Lord fills this house. Because you know what? If the glory of David Sedaris fills this house, we've got nothing. If your glory fills this house, we have nothing. But what we need Sunday after Sunday to see soul saves and lives change and see the saints encouraged is we need the glory of God to fill this house through the singing, through the prayers, through the preaching. And when the glory of God fills this house and there's fire from heaven that falls, wolves don't like fire. And they don't like sheepdogs. And they also don't like shepherds because they know shepherds are watching the sheepdogs and the sheep. And that's one of the things that an overseer is to do, particularly if I am to oversee the flock of God that God has given me oversight thereof, is that I have to protect the sheep at all cost. And I'll do that because I love you and I love liberty. And I'm not going to let a wolf, alpha male or alpha female, whatever the case may be, come in and try to destroy what God, the wonderful work that God has done at Liberty Baptist Church. He's done it all through the years because there's been watchmen in this church watching. I remember one time in my last pastorate, we had a man and he had kept trying. He wanted to be an alpha male in the church, and he had tried every way in the world to be an alpha male. He had tried to become a deacon, and in fact, he just asked to be a deacon. And as I've told our deacons back there before, people in the church got a misunderstanding of deacons because a deacon is a servant. It literally means kicking up the dust. Well, who in their right mind volunteers to be a servant who's in the dust working? Nobody does that. And that's what our deacons do. I mean, they're in the dirt and they're in the dust and they're serving the church. They're laboring for Jesus. But this man had asked to be a deacon, and he couldn't become a we just knew it couldn't happen. There's trouble there, and he got upset about that, and he got upset about two or three other things, and things wasn't his way, and so forth. He was a wolf in the church. So he come down. I was going out the door, going out to the foyer to shake hands with people one Sunday morning, and he caught me about three pews back. And he said this. We had just made a decision for the church to grow and to do some things, and he didn't like it. He didn't like the way it was going down and all this stuff. Well, he said this. He said, let me ask you a question. I said, okay, go ahead. And he said, do you believe the Bible? And I said, do you have to ask that? I said, of course, I believe the Bible. And he said, if you believe the Bible, then why do you let these deacons who are of the devil run you around and not do something about it? Well, I had the best deacons you could ever ask for, just like right here at Liberty. I mean, I had men who had a heart for Jesus and had a heart for the church and will do anything to see the church grow. He said, why do you let these deacons of the devil run you around? And I just saw him for what he was. He was a wolf. And so, humbly, I said, brother, at this point in the conversation, you got one or two things you can do. I said, me and you can get in this altar and pray, which I think is the thing we need to do, or you can leave this church and don't come back. And he turned and he left. He didn't want to pray and reconcile and work things out. But listen, somebody's got to protect the church. Somebody's got to stand for the church. We can't just let anything go on in the church. Listen, this is a special body that God has given us. Think about it. Christ purchased the church with his own blood. The Bible says that he loved the church and he gave himself for it. Yes, we're going to have fun. You know I love to have fun. Yes, we're going to laugh. And yes, we're going to cut up and all of that stuff. And it all has its place. But let us never forget the serious nature of the church. And that is to evangelize the world, equip the saints, and win people to Jesus. We can't forget what God's called us to do. This body is how people get saved. You were saved because of a ministry of a local church somewhere. You may have read a gospel tract that was laid down in a restaurant and got saved. I don't know. But you know what? I guarantee you that gospel tract come down the line somewhere from the ministry of a local church. So let's finish up. I'm going to close. So we've talked about some things about the wolves. We've not talked everything about how we could line this up with the Bible. Girls, you can come if you want to come and just play us something. Don't even sing tonight. Just come play something on the piano. So the Bible makes it very clear that we are sheep and that there are wolves that are a danger to the sheep. And here's the thing, wolves just don't care. They just do not care. I read the story of a woman who found a wolf pup and she raised that wolf pup. And one day she had to run to the store really fast and was only gone about 20 minutes and she left her eight-year-old boy with this wolf that she had raised and that lived with them. And by the time she made that 20-minute run to the store and come back, when she come back, that wolf had eaten over half of her boy. See, wolves just don't care. They don't care who they hurt. They don't care how much they hurt. They don't care if they kill. Wolves are bloodthirsty. They just don't care. Well, I want to tell you something. As we progress in this church age, you need to be aware that there are going to be wolves. Even more so, I believe, as the nearing of our Lord draws near, there's going to be wolves in the church more than there ever has been. And I believe the more we pray for God to move, the more the enemy's going to know those prayers and he's going to see those prayers coming to pass. The enemy's going to try his best to tear it down and stop it. And what you need to pray for yourself as a member of Liberty, no matter what your position is, God, is give me a spirit of discernment. If you're going to be part of a great church, then you need the spirit of discernment. Lord, help, give me ears to hear when I'm hearing the minor vocalization, the negative vocalization of a wolf trying to draw to themselves disciples away from our flock. Give me eyes to see with, Lord. And Lord, show me when people are trying to cause harm. And Lord, help me to pray against that and help me to stand on guard and to watch. Liberty Baptist Church has been blessed all through the years. I think these older folks will tell you that. We've been blessed, but I want you to know something. A prosperous history and a blessed history does not secure for us and guarantee for us a prosperous future. We've got to, of course, stay in the Word and stand on the Word. We've got to be a praying church. We've also got to be on guard. And we've got to be watchful. And we've got to love the church so much. Christ loved it so much he gave himself for it. But we got to love it so much that we'll be watchmen. And we'll let no wolf come in to draw away after themselves disciples. But you know, we'll say, you know what? Liberty's not perfect because it's made up of imperfect people. It's got an imperfect pastor, imperfect singers, imperfect deacons and imperfect people sitting on pews, imperfect people in the park. Liberty's not perfect. There's things I'd like to change, but you know what, dear sir? I'm standing with liberty. And dear ma'am, I'm sticking with the church. I'm not going to listen to anybody run it down. I'm not going to listen to anybody drag it down, but I'm standing with the church. I know things aren't the way I do it. I know things are not the way I think it ought to be done. I've got an opinion about this or about that or about how the choir sings or what they sing or how the preacher preaches or what the deacons do or what's happening in the preschool or here and there. I've got opinions about all that stuff. But you know what? It ain't all about me. It's all about Jesus. So I'm just going to stand with the church. And as long as they're making it all about Jesus, then I'll stand with Liberty Baptist Church. God parked us here tonight for a reason, and I don't know why. For 2 weeks, He's let me prepare and let me think about it and let me try to get out of it. But wolves in the church is in the Bible, so who am I to pick and choose as to what I'm going to preach? So we need some watchmen tonight who will pray and who will ask God, give me discernment to be able to stand, to be able to defend the flock of God, the people of God. And our deacons know this, and they are. And I'm telling you this, I don't say this because I'm here, but Liberty has had the best deacons I've ever worked around. You need to be praying for them because they're watchmen. And it ain't easy. You got to have a backbone of steel and a hide like shoe leather. And they do. But they also have a heart for Jesus. And that's why God's blessed this church. So maybe tonight in some way the Lord spoke to you, and I don't have a clue. I'll just throw this out there. Maybe there has been a wolf trying to draw away disciples to themselves. You sense it now. You see it now. You realize it now. It'd probably surprise you. It'd probably surprise you at times who that may be. And so you just want to pray, Lord, give me eyes to see with, ears to hear with, and your spirit so that I can sense and discern. God, keep us, protect us. Send the fire. Send the light. Send revival. Because wolves hate those things. We'll drive them away and we'll bring the sheep together. And we'll protect them. By the way, you know what sheep do against the wolf? They can do very, very little. Very, very little. They have no defenses. They can't bite. They can't run. I mean, they're very limited in how to defend themselves. You know the one thing they can do, though? The one thing sheep can do to defend themselves against the wolf is they bring that flock in as close as they can together. And they stand as those sheep were in that picture that you saw. They stand side by side as close as they could be. That's how they protect themselves from the attack of a wolf. Probably what we need to do tonight, it's gone on a little longer than usual on Wednesday night. What we need to do tonight is we need to get in this altar and we need to stand as close to each other as we could stand. Kneel as close to each other as we could kneel. Because wolves don't like the body of Christ. And when we kneel together and stand together as close as we can, we stand protected. We stand in the graces of our Lord. You stand and do what you need to do tonight. Elizabeth, just play there.